Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Continuing our study through the book of Ephesians. Let's start by reading in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now, as we have studied the book of Ephesians, we have seen the Apostle Paul explain why God chose to bless us. And then we had seen those blessings through the blood sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. In this passage, we see Paul describe how he prayed for those who put their faith in Jesus as their Savior. So we see Paul starting to pray, offer up prayer, intercession for these people who had put their faith in Jesus Christ. No doubt Paul understood the importance of prayer for his fellow believers. As in his other letters, we see a consistent, grateful intercession for those that Paul ministered to. I believe that one of the main things we should be doing as a church is praying for one another, praying that the Lord would help us as fellow believers to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator said, "The day of judgment will likely show that those who have done the most to advance God's cause in this world have been persons who made prayer a large factor in their lives." I truly believe that God wants us to pray for one another. As a church, I believe we should be in constant, grateful intercession for one another. This is something that should be a natural thing for our church, something that should be occurring on a constant basis. I'm so thankful for those that I've seen. They keep a prayer journal. They keep a prayer list. I know Shirley does, and I think that's a wonderful thing, to keep a prayer journal, and she's in constant prayer for those in our church. That is an awesome, awesome, wonderful blessing for our church. And the Apostle Paul realized that. He realized that one of the best things he could do for the people that he was ministering to was to pray to God for them. This is something that we ought to do. Now, how should we pray? We know that we should pray, but how do we pray for those around us? How do we pray for our fellow believers here in this church? Well, this passage offers us some wonderful insight. I believe we should be praying specifically for people we minister and worship with. You may be asking, how then should I pray for those believers I am in contact with? Well, I believe we can learn from Paul's prayer as to how we should pray for our fellow believers. There is one other thought I want us to keep in mind as we look at this passage. Since this is God's word, we can assume that Paul's prayer is a clear view of what God wants to happen in our own lives. Okay, so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see how to pray for others, other believers, but we're also going to see what God's will is for our own lives. So as we look at this passage let's see how we should pray for others and what we should be striving for in our own lives. Okay, so let's take a look at this passage more closely now. Verse 15 says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, we should show our faith in Christ by loving one another and expressing gratefulness for the love we receive from others. Now, Paul was thankful to God that the people were expressing their faith in Christ by loving one another. Now, one of the wonderful things that happens when a group of believers gets together is that they start showing Christ-like love to one another. They start really showing their care for others. Now remember, we were chosen by God so that we might bring glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1. We were chosen by God so that we might bring glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. One of the ways we can bring glory to Jesus is by showing Christ-like love to one another. I've heard many, many times over and over again this kind of testimony. I went to such and such church, and I was amazed at the love and kindness people had for one another. That brings glory to the Lord. When someone comes into Beacon Church and they see that we really genuinely care for one another and we're expressing that to one another, that brings glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. It really does. And that's what our whole purpose in life is, to bring glory to His name. And so if one of the ways we can do that is by expressing Christ-like love to others, then that should be something that is a regular, constant thing in our church. We should be looking for ways in our church to love others in our congregation. We should be looking for those that may not be getting the kind of love that they need and showing them some Christ-like love. You know, it's easy to love the lovable, isn't it? It's easy to love the lovable. I'm very lovable. I'm easy. You know, but sometimes Christ-like love is shown when we love the ones that aren't so easy to love. Think about this for a minute. Who did Jesus show His love to the most? The ones who were unlovable, the outcasts, the ones nobody wanted anything else to do with, those were the ones Christ showed His love to. Shouldn't that be the way it is in our midst? Shouldn't everyone in our church, regardless of how lovable or unlovable they may be getting some Christ-like love? Absolutely. Doesn't that bring glory to God? Absolutely. It brings glory to the Lord Jesus when we can show genuine Christ-like love to one another. And wow, we should be so grateful for people that will show that kind of love towards us. The kind of this kind of love talked about here is one where we put the interest and welfare of others over our own selfish considerations. Now that's something that we should be striving to do. You know, it's easy to, you know, just say, you know what? I don't want to be bothered with having so-and-so over for dinner. I know they need someone to reach out to them, but, you know, that's going to mess up my schedule and, you know, all that, right? We've probably all been through that in our minds. It's obvious that Christ wants us to reach out in love towards one another. Any Christian that's been a Christian for a while knows, has been through this scenario, because they want to do God's will, okay? And God makes it clear that he wants us to reach out to others in love. But that takes putting the interest of others over our own considerations, right? It takes us sacrificing what we may want and putting the interest and welfare of others above ourselves. When we do this, however, we are fulfilling the will of God. Remember that. And we will bring glory to him. Hey, didn't Jesus show us this kind of love when he sacrificed his life on the cross for us? Do you think that was really pleasant for him? Do you think that was an inconvenience? I think so. And it was such a burden that humanly speaking, he said, "Lord, not my will, but yours." Think about that. It was such a burden on him that it was something that he had to give himself totally over to God's will for, because in the human sense in his life, he didn't want to do that. That's the kind of love that Christ expressed towards us. Shouldn't we be expressing that kind of love towards others? What a wonderful Savior we have. He gave his life as a sacrifice on the cross for our salvation, so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. Shouldn't we be willing to express that kind of love towards others after all Jesus has done for us? This is the kind of love that God wants us to express towards others. And when others show us this kind of love, we should show gratefulness to them, to God for them. When someone is showing you Christ-like love, when someone is helping you in your time of need, be grateful to God for that. We do little things around here as a church. When someone is down with a surgery or something like that, we try and make meals for them. We try and do things like that, and to show our love for each other. And those are wonderful things. When that happens, thank God for that. Thank him. Be grateful. Boy, nothing helps the attitude of a congregation and the attitude, our own attitude, when we start expressing gratefulness to God. Isn't this what Thanksgiving season is supposed to be about? Expressing our gratefulness to God? Shouldn't we be expressing our gratefulness to God for those that have been willing to show us Christ-like love? Not only that, let's pray continually that we would show love and express gratefulness to God for those who we receive love from, okay? Let's really pray for people. One of the ways that we can pray for people is, Lord, help them to show Christ-like love through their faith in you. Help them to show Christ-like love through their faith in you. This is a wonderful prayer. This is something that we should pray specifically for. We should just kind of go down the list, go down our attenders list, and just say, Lord, help Alina to show Christ-like love to others. Lord, help Joseph to show Christ-like love to others, and so on and so forth, all the way down the line. This is a great thing. Boy, if we have people that are praying for our church like that, wow, what God could do, what God can do, and what God will do. Okay, so let's let our faith show by loving others and praying for them with gratefulness in our hearts. Now, let's look at verse 17. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the great exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, We should be in a constant state of receiving wisdom from God and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be in a constant state of receiving wisdom from God and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want us to understand that the wisdom of God is something that comes to us by the Holy Spirit. Only God can give us this kind of wisdom. We're not praying for the Lord to give someone inner strength. We're not praying for someone to be able to gain some worldly wisdom. No, we're praying that the Holy Spirit of God would impart on people His wisdom and understanding. His wisdom and understanding. The natural man cannot understand that. The natural man does not see that. That's why our eyes have to be open to it. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to give us godly wisdom. And that is what we need as Christians. As believers, we need godly wisdom. This is a discernment that comes from a holy God that helps us understand what is good and what is evil. Sometimes I get discouraged about the lack of discernment that Christians have. I don't know what it is about it that really bothers me, but that's one of the things that really, really bothers me is when I see Christians lack discernment. And what I mean is they lack the ability to see good and evil, and they lack the ability to see the evil that is in something. And I can see that it's going to hurt them in the future, and that gets me discouraged. One of the things I pray is that people would have the Holy Spirit giving them wisdom and understanding. Discernment, real discernment, that will help them stay away from things that will hurt them, to help them know how to apply the knowledge that they will get from God. Understanding that God's this involves understanding as well. Understanding that God's commands can be trusted and His promises are true. Now, this is the hope of His calling. Understand, we don't have confidence in God's promises apart from the Holy Spirit confirming that those promises are true. If all I have to rely on are words, then my hope is shaky at best. But I'm not just relying on words. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit of God that as I read the promises in His Word, He is confirming those words to me. He is confirming that that is true. Didn't we learn that that was one of the blessings that God has given us through His Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit confirms to us the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, understand that. God's Word is alive because God's Holy Spirit speaks through His Word, okay? And when I read God's Word, I'm not just looking at words or trusting in a phrase. I'm trusting in the God who made these promises, and His Holy Spirit is confirming those promises in my heart as I'm reading those. That's what we need in our church. That's what every single one of you need in your life. The Holy Spirit confirming as you're reading His Word that this is true, that this can be relied on, and that it's going to be best for you. That's what we need. I can't give you that. I can pray that God gives you that. That's what we need to be doing as a church. Praying that the Holy Spirit would be confirming in the hearts and lives of all of us around us, all of the fellow believers in our church, that God's word is true, that it can be relied upon, that it can be followed, and that wisdom and understanding would be broadened in our minds. That we would be constantly gaining more wisdom and understanding of who Jesus is. We want people to gain hope from the saving relationship they have with Jesus. Even for the Christian, life can be very discouraging. We need the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding so we will gain joy from the purpose we have in Jesus Christ. When we realize our inheritance, discouragement is replaced by joy. So, let's pray that the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and understanding. Let's pray that He would give others His wisdom and understanding. This is a vital part of the Christian life and what we need to see happening in all of our lives in our church. We want everyone in our church to be studying God's Word, to be here where they can hear God's Word preached, where they can be here and hear God's Word taught, where they can encourage others. We come together so that we can talk about the principles of God. So why? So we can increase in wisdom. So that we can increase in the understanding of God. And all that happens through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Through the Holy Spirit enlightening us. It is a wonderful thing to happen in a church. And this is something that we need. And we need to be praying is happening constantly in our church. And then finally, let's look at verse 19 in the second half of it. It says, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He puts all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, we should be relying on the power of Jesus to make us what He intends for us to be. We should be relying on the power of Jesus to make us what He intends for us to be. Once again, this points not to our power, not to our will, but to God's power, the power of Jesus Christ, the power that He used to raise from the dead. This is the power that is available to us to be what He wants us to be. Now, all this hope that comes from the promises of God is based on the power that we have in Jesus. The promise of hope is guaranteed by Jesus, the one God has given all power and dominion. We know Jesus has this power because of His resurrection. He rose from the dead, and not only did He rise from the dead, but He never died again. He never died again. You know, Jesus raised Lazarus out of the grave, but He died again. Jesus never died again. He showed us that He has power over death. This is the power available to us to live the way He wants us to live. That is an awesome power. We know Jesus has this power because of His ascension. Now, the ascension was when Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to earth. He hung out with the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended back up to heaven. And all these people saw Jesus go from earth and ascend up into heaven. And that's where he is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, over all that is. No one is above him. His power is over all powers. His power and might has dominion over everything, over all the forces of evil that come against us to hinder us from doing what God wants. His power is available to us, and his power is greater than all the forces of evil that fight against us. Now, when we think of the power of God, we may think differently than we should. Let me explain. The power of God doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to work some kind of miracle or supernatural thing in our lives. Oftentimes we think of God's power being displayed in some kind of miracle, maybe a miracle of healing or something supernatural like that. Now, this kind of miracle was attractive to people in the life of Jesus. Jesus, he would perform miracles of healing. He would perform miracles where he fed over 5,000 people, right? And so all these miracles, these supernatural events, were attractive to people, and they really did attract people. Well, as Jesus started laying out, what it would really take to follow him, his miracles became less attractive to them. He became less attractive to them. And it was only those who focused, but those who only focused on those displays of Christ's power eventually drifted from Jesus. Excuse me. The ones who have a lasting experience with the power of Jesus are those who rely on God's power to make them what they ought to be. Now, the disciples are a great example of what I'm trying to say. After Jesus ascended up into heaven, then the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they displayed his power, and they brought glory to Christ. And they were able to live the way Christ wanted them to live, even as they faced death for their faith. See, this is a great display of God's awesome power. When people can live a life, a long-lasting life of obedience to Christ, even in the face of the most difficult of circumstances, this is a great display of his power. And this is the kind of power that Jesus is trying to display in our lives. This is the power he will display in our life. A long-lasting power that helps you to be what Jesus wants you to be so you can fulfill the goal of glorifying him. That is what God's goal is for you, that you would glorify him. And so, as he brings you through life, and you face struggles, and you face difficulties, he gives you the power to be like him through those. He starts developing you into the image of his son, Jesus. You start becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. That is the display of power that we're talking about here. That is what Paul is praying for. Paul's praying that not some miraculous event, particular event, would happen in the lives of these believers, but that the miraculous power of Jesus Christ would be displayed in their lives through them being able to do God's will and fulfill the purpose of the church, which is to glorify Jesus Christ. That is the power of God. That is how God wants to display his power in our lives. That we would be able to live for him in spite of the difficulties we face. So praying that we would grow in wisdom and knowledge of Jesus is something that we should do. We need to display. So let's pray for the power of Jesus to be displayed in our lives and in the lives of our fellow believers. And what are we saying when we're saying that? Lord, by your power, will you please help so-and-so to be more like you? By your power, will you please help so-and-so to be more like you? What an awesome prayer that is. That shows great love for someone when you will pray for them in that way. When we display our faith in Jesus by loving one another, by having our hearts and minds enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and by having the power of Jesus working to make us what we ought to be, then we will experience the fullness of Christ as a church. That's what we're told here. That is what our goal should be. When we display this, when we display love for one another, when we are receiving wisdom and discernment and understanding from Jesus through his Holy Spirit, and when he is giving us the power we need to be like him, we have fulfilled the purpose of the church. This is my vision for Beacon Church. This is the vision I have and pray for as our church. I want us to be a church that shows our faith by loving one another. A love so great that we continually pray for each other, praying that we should grow in wisdom and knowledge of Jesus, encouraging others by helping them study God's word so they can increase in wisdom and understanding. That the power of God would be evident in our lives as we become more and more like Jesus. If these things are happening in our church, we will bring glory to our Savior Jesus and fulfill the purpose of our church. This is my plea to you, that we be like this prayer, that this be happening in our lives, that we be showing this kind of Christ-like love, that we be gaining wisdom and understanding through the Holy Spirit, that we be showing the power of God in our lives by that the power of God would be working in our lives by helping us be more like Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful church that would be. What a wonderful church that would be if this is the way it is. Now, I'm not saying it's not like that, but I'm saying I want it to be always like that and more like that. More like that. That's the way it ought to be. That's what Paul prayed for the church. I believe that's God's will for our church. Let's be grateful to God for his word, and let's do what he asks us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us. Will you help us to show Christ-like love towards others? Will you help us display our faith by loving one another? Father, please, please give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, please help us to understand the promises we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to get to know Jesus more and more all the time. Father, we love you. We want you. We need you. We need you, Jesus, more and more in our lives. Lord, will you please display your power, your mighty, mighty power in our lives by helping us conform to your image? Oh, Lord, please. Please help us. we ask you with grateful hearts to work this in our lives so that we as individuals and as a church can be that all in all, that we can experience the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So that as a body of believers, we will fulfill the purpose you have for us.